Hey, this is Kurt.
And Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Welcome again. We're doing a little board game thing tonight, today, whenever you're listening.
Board game thing?
We're talking about a couple of games that are currently on Kickstarter. We're talking about Effervescent and Flockton of Flamingos.
Boy, that's a...
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't even think of what I was going to say about it.
We'll just try to say, like, Effervescent and Flockton.
See?
Flockton of Flamingos.
That's a mouthful? Did you say that's what it was?
Sure did.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like how many would... Nope.
Nope, let's not do that, because it's not
going to How much wood would a woodchuck chuck? If a woodchuck would chuck wood. What is that called?
Probably a lot. I don't even know.
Tongue twister!
Yes,
that's it. Couldn't think of it.
Okay. Tongue twister. Twisters. Good Lord.
Wow.
Let's get into
amazing.
Let's get into the darn thing, huh?
Okay.
We are doing a preview of two games that are going to be currently on a Kickstarter. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's absolutely what I was going to say.
They are going to be, you can get them separately or you can get them bundled up. Bundled up. Jeez. Words are not working today. We are previewing two games that are going to be on that Kickstarter and then one we are not privy to, which is called Spelling Beach.
And that's part of the bundle.
That is part of the bundle. So
you can buy that one individually.
Or you can get all of those separately. Yep.
Yes.
And just so I say before I forget, the Flockton of Flamingos and Spelling Beach are at $24. Effervescence is at $39. And on the Kickstarter, that is actually a markdown from $50 for retail. So you're getting a deal there.
How much is the bundle?
The bundle is like $60. Four, I think, 69. I can't remember. It's in the 60 range. So that's actually a pretty good deal if you think about it, getting all three of those at the same time as well.
I'd say so.
So.
And then for those of you who are listening to this, the Kickstarter is actually funded.
Yes. And it's currently going, if you're listening today, 9/2 of 2026, or within, I think there's still another 15 days to go.
Nice.
There you go.
So once you listen to this preview,
yep.
If you're interested, head out to Kickstarter.
Yep.
And take a peek.
Yep. And grab a couple games if you want, because you're guaranteed to get them because they're fully funded.
Yes.
So which one should we talk about first?
Let's talk about Flockton of Flamingos.
Flockton.
I said that very slow if you couldn't.
Flockton of Flamingos.
Yes.
Yes. This game is a... Boy, what would
set
you
set collection?
Set collection. Thank you. I don't know why I just had like a moment.
Card game.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the gist of it. It's a set collection card game with what other elements would be in it?
I don't know if it's all considered just set collection though.
Yeah.
Because yes, you're collecting sets. Yeah, you could collect sets of colors. But you're also doing, like, runs of numbers. Are runs of numbers considered set collection?
Technically.
Okay. I thought maybe they had a different category. Well, then maybe set collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on their Kickstarter that says anything differently.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happens in Flockton of Flamingos?
So Flockton of Flamingos plays up to 6 players. So you have a deck of cards, so to speak, that has enough cards to accommodate 6 players. And then based on the number of players, you remove a certain number of flamingos from the deck in order to play.
Yeah.
And they're in all different colors. There's...
Yeah. So it would be like, if you're playing like a regular card game, it would be suits, basically.
Yeah. And I think there's 8 different suits
or
colors of flamingos.
Yeah.
So, like, when we played with, like, pink, dark pink, and purple.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And so, you're basically placing... We started with 4 cards in our hand. We had 2 that laid in front of us, which is called our roost. And then we had...
A lagoon.
And then we had 5 cards that started out in our lagoon, which is like a... I would consider it a community space for either player to grab from.
Or multiple players, for that matter.
Well, I was talking about
us being a two-player game. Correct. Yes.
Yep. And so the goal of the game is to collect flamingos to complete different types of set collection. So whether you're collecting points for pairs or groups of those colors I talked about, the light pink, the dark pink, and the purple, which is what we were playing, mm-hmm. or the runs. So whether it be 10, 11, 12, 3, 4, 5, you get the gist of a run if you've played run type games. But the cool part about it also is that just because you played a 3-4-5 run doesn't mean you can't use the 5 from the run to use it for your pair to do a pair of 5s mm-hmm. in there. Or you used 2 light pinks in your pairs to go towards 6 of the same color suit. I'm using air quotes mm-hmm. to score points also.
Yeah.
So how do you start collecting the flock ton of flamingos, Kurt?
So you can do 3 certain actions. You can either take 2 cards from the deck and put them into your hand. You can place 3 of your cards into your, why can't I think of it all of a sudden? You talked about
roost.
It. Roost, yes. You can put 3 flamingos into your roost, and that's how you collect points for the end game scoring. Or you can play into the lagoon. And this is a fun little way and a little different way than a lot of other card games go, because on each of your flamingo cards, there is a number for your flamingo. So say you have a number 1, but also underneath that 1, you have 2 other numbers below that are smaller, that when you play into the lagoon, what happens is whatever color that card is, if there are cards in the lagoon that match that, you're going to take those. But also, those 2 little numbers that are underneath the number on the card that you've played, you're also going to be taking both of those numbers, depending upon however many are in the lagoon, and taking those and putting them into your hand. So that's a fun little, like, kind of twist on being able to play a card, take cards kind of thing.
Yep.
And so, you know, during the game, what you're doing is you're doing this back and forth of, okay, I'm going to put a couple in my lagoon. I'm going to take some from, or I'm going to put some into my roost. Sorry. And then, you know, I'm going to put one in the lagoon to try to take some cards away from other people. And then also, like, oh, if I don't have anything, or if maybe I want to get that extra 7 so I can play those pairs of 7s, I'm going to grab that 7 so I can do that, you know, that kind of thing. So,
or if you don't know what you want to do, you can always take 2 cards from the stack.
Yes, yes. And go ahead.
And hand limit doesn't count.
Yes, which is
awesome. So you can pile on as many cards as you want in your hand, but you have to remember that if you don't get them into your roost before the game ends, then you don't get points.
Yes.
So with that being said.
Yes.
What triggers game end?
Game end is when the deck runs out of cards.
Okay.
Simple.
And then you get, it doesn't end immediately.
It does not.
Each player gets 1 more turn.
Yes. So after normal play after everyone's gotten the same amount of turns.
And then that's your last hurrah to make your last stance for these flock ton of flamingos to get into your roost.
Yes.
I'm getting very good at saying this game.
Yes.
Or saying
the name.
See, I can't say the name. Whoa. Nope. Done. See, I was trying to toot my own horn. That's what I get. I was being a little bit too cocky.
Yeah. You're too tooty.
Too tooty.
Yeah. And again, this is a game that's like, it's almost like a rummy kind of game, but it's like, it has a little bit of a twist, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after all the players have made their last attempt to get flamingos into the roost, then is when the magic happens and you score all your points based on your pairs in your roost, your sets of 6 of the colors. So if you had, for our example, 6 light pink, 6 dark pink, 6 purple, and any sets of 3, a run of 3. The only time you can't reuse a card would be is if you did like 3, 4, 5, and then you wanted to use that 5 as 5, 6, 7, right?
Yes.
But you are able to use that 5 to pair up with another 5.
Yes.
In that set collection. Or you can also, or, and, not instead of, instead of or,
yeah,
you,
it's and.
And you could use that 5 in that group of 6 color
yes.
collection.
Yes.
So you just wouldn't be able to use it for like the 5 in another set
mm-hmm.
and the 2 in another set or,
yes.
you know, whatever.
Yep.
So on and so forth. And then you score up and whoever has the most points wins the game.
That's right. Yeah. It's one of those games that kind of takes a, what I'll call a rummy game-ish and kind of flips it on its head. It's one of those that when you start to play, you're like, oh, this will be easy. And then you're like, oh, crap, I forgot that I could, you know, put another card here to use for a run, even though it's not you. I'm not using that card for like a pair or a color run, you know, that kind of thing. It's like you have to realize like you can score a bunch of different points, but you have to really think about, okay, if I'm going to use this card for this run, I can also use it for this color combination. I can also use it for this pair. But if I don't get everything out in time, I'm going to miss out on a lot of points.
Well, and that's where you had your stuff kind of set out different. And I just had mine in kind of a cluster.
Yeah.
And so then I was trying to calculate my points at the end. And I was making it way harder on myself than it needed to be. Because I wanted to get the most points and how was I going to do it? And should I move this one to over this spot? And then you're like, it is not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was blowing it up to a big like hubbub.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and another way to kind of make this game different or kind of do a little bit of a variant, they also it also comes with 6 flare cards that also have a little bit different like rules and stuff like that for either scoring or something else. So it changes it up. It's not just the same thing each time. So it gives it a little bit of the flair, gives it a little bit of flair. Just like,
nice.
just like it's advertised. So yeah.
Nice.
That's Flocktown of Flamingos. All right. Let's talk about Effervescent. So in this game, you are you're placing a bunch of tiles and creating this community of sea creatures, basically. And so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be placing these tiles, attaching them tail to head, and then depending upon these drift criteria, which are basically objectives, you're going to be able to put these effervescents attached to these creatures alongside of their bodies. And then when you enclose these habitats, you're going to have these harmony cards, which are basically your objectives for the whole game, and you're going to be trying to score points that way to get your highest score to end the game. So there are a couple of different things that you have to remember when you're playing this game as well. So when you are placing these creature tiles and you're creating these symbiosis, but you're also creating these habitats, these effervescents that you're placing on these creatures, you have to be careful because at some point, if you're making your habitats too small, or you don't have enough space around other parts where you're placing your sea animals, these effervescents might not be able to be put there. So you have to be careful there as far as the scoring goes.
One thing to add on to that, Kurt, would be that because your sea animals are different sizes, like the small, the medium, and the large. Is that how she identifies it in there?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That based on what animals are chosen to create those habitats or those areas that are enclosed, that really will dictate also what amount you can attach to the side of the animal. And so that's something that we were finding tricky at times. If we picked the smaller or the smallest of the animals, were to try to fit enough or to fit all of the effervescent next to the animals if we were playing around all tiny guys. You know what I mean? Like the space was so small. So always something to consider because you could be like, hey, I met all of this drift criteria or my objectives or everyone's objectives for this. but then you have to place like two inside of that enclosed space, but you can also put one on the outside to maybe score later.
Yeah.
And we did find that was beneficial to us too, but
yeah,
trying to stick them into that small spot was also not always that successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Because someone would be like, oh, I got three effervescents and I can put them in here. And it's like, no, there's not. There's only enough space for one.
Because they always have to touch the animal that you play, yeah, that you put down.
That you placed at the time. Yeah.
So if you put like a tiny turtle down, tough toots, because yeah, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing to also kind of consider in the drift cards is that during the game, the drift cards will actually change as well. So when you're putting these effervescents around or whatever, there's always going to be one that comes out of the game. There's going to be one that's added. So it kind of keeps the game flow going and be able to, you know, give certain changes on how you put stuff out on the board and how you play the game. So yeah, so you're scoring points on those harmony cards once those habitats are enclosed. But then once you get to the end game scoring, you're also scoring, everybody gets their own reference card, but on the back, it has a title direction is what it's called. So basically it's like a...
AKA a private objective, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. And it's basically like, make sure that you have this sea animal, but also this color.
Yep.
Or also this sea animal, but also this size or something like that. Like there's different little things that kind of, you know, help you, you know, get some more extra oomph at the end of the game. And then once either all of the sea animals are down to two or less animals, or... Oh, now I forgot.
Somebody uses all 15 of their...
Oh, yeah. Someone uses all 15 of their effervescence. Boy, so hard to say, but you know what? I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
Then the game is technically over.
I can't imagine using all of those animals. There are so many animals. We finished it down to having somebody use all of their... effervescence.
Oh yeah, and I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's everybody gets equal turns. So then if somebody uses their last effervescence, and then there's another player that's before the end or whatever, you do that. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, but and one thing we kept having to look up too, just as a side note, is with the animals getting down to two, it's two of each kind. So it's not like when the large animals get down to two large animals left, then you're done. It's like two of every kind or something. So you have to have two small left, two medium left, two large.
Oh, it's less than two. Sorry.
Less than two.
God, I'm getting terrible at that.
Okay. So, but either way, like there's a lot of animals. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot.
If that's the route you want to go.
Yeah. I bet you with more players, I bet you it probably would be one of those where things would go a little bit faster, I would assume, as far as the animals go, but maybe not.
Well, or you're wanting to make the areas bigger before you enclose them.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a little bit shy, not shy. I got a little bit anxious, and I wanted to close up areas pretty fast because I got nervous and wanted to score right away.
Yeah. So basically during the game, you are scoring every time a habitat is created. You always count up all your effervescence in those habitats. And then you look at those harmony cards, and depending upon whatever the scoring is there, you will get the points for that. Then you get to you keep scoring until you get towards the end. Then you're going to do that title direction card. You're going to be scoring those points there. And then at the end, you're taking all of those points and revealing how many points you have. And then whoever has the most is the winner.
Easy.
Yes. So easy. Yeah.
You don't even need the directions when you play this game.
Not at all. One of the things that I think is a theme with both of these games is that on the outside, it looks like, oh, this should be pretty easy. And then you get into it, it's more complicated than you would expect. At least for me, it's just like, yeah. I was like, yeah, this will be easy. I'll be able to do these things. And like, it's especially with like Effervescent, I was like, oh my God, I am not scoring as much as I thought I was going to be scoring in this game.
I know. Well, it's like these cute like sea animals and stuff. And it's like these like turtles, like, you know, all these, I can't even think of sea otters maybe.
Yeah, sea otter, turtle, orca.
Yeah.
And what else? What's the other one? Seahorse, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all like cute, cute, cute. And then it's like, you really have got to think on this game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the same thing with Flocktone of Flamingos, too. It's just like, you know, you think it's just like, oh, it's just like a regular card game. And then it's like, oh, crap, I didn't do that. Oh, crap, I didn't do that.
Well, that's like me. That's like me when we were playing it. I had it all. I was stressing out, wasn't I? Mm-hmm, I had them all laid out and I was like going to rip my hair out.
Yeah.
So, you know, if somebody wants to send me money to have like parts of my hair placed back in because I tore them out. Just kidding. It's not that bad, actually.
No.
Like, that stressful, I should say.
No.
But I would have thought about it differently.
Yeah, for sure. So if you like nice little thinky games, that also these play fairly easily, too, I feel like, you know. We had to just do a little bit of reading or whatever, but.
Well, and we played Flocktone of Flamingos, and I'll never get that. At two, and we played Effervescent, which I keep wanting to call it Evanescence. Nice. At four.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just different games, different ways to play, but yeah, good quality.
Yes. So check out the Kickstarter.
Yeah, for sure. It like we said, it's on now. It's already funded, so it's going to be
You said what? About 2 more weeks?
About 2 more weeks, yeah.
And today is the 2nd of September.
So, yep, 2026. So, but, and then if maybe you're listening to this afterwards, this is already funded and it'll be on their website. You'll be able to buy them up there.
Yeah, snag them.
That's right. Shop these small companies that are awesome, just like Weird Giraffe Games, because Weird Giraffe Games always has supported us for a very long time and we support them because they make great games. And hopefully you'll support them as well. So go out there and go grab a copy. And until then, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast.